And I found this quote this week. It says this. It says, "It gives me a deep, comforting sense that things seen are temporal and things unseen are eternal." Okay? So this person, sounds like a nice quote. This person is saying that it's a comfort to her that things that you can see are temporal, meaning they're limited by time, but that the things that you can't see are eternal. Eternal things are not bound by the limits of time. Now, as great as of a quote that that is, perspective matters. When you realize that this quote was from Helen Keller, okay? So if you don't know who Helen Keller is, she was a woman that became both blind and deaf by the age of 19 months. And she had to figure out a way to, and her family and the people that were caring for her, figure out a way to communicate even with her. So with that in perspective, it changes the weight of that statement. It gives me a deep, comforting sense that things seen are temporal and things unseen are eternal. So many things to her were unseen because she couldn't see. And it gave her comfort to know that those things were eternal. Turn in your Bibles this morning to the book of Romans, chapter 4. In my devotions this week, my heart was aching for everything that's going on in the world right now. It seems like this country in the last year has come to a place that we have only seen in other parts of the world, or in a movie. And I don't know about you, but when I've seen things like that happen in other places of the world, I'm thankful that that's not happening here. And here we are. It seems like we're seeing all of those things come to America, and it can be very sobering. One particular day this week I want to tell you about, I was asking God to heal our land, and an interesting thing happened. And if you read over my devotion book, you would actually see this shift in my perspective as I prayed. As I shared with you last week, I have my prayer time, and I follow the P-A-R-T acronym. First, I spend some time praising God, and then I go into a time of admitting, and then R is request, and then I finish up with a time of thanksgiving. And I was excited when I sat down to do my devotions, and when I sat down with God, I found this excitement come over me. In fact, I couldn't even really think of a reason why. I was just excited to be there. I was excited to spend time with God, and my thoughts went to who he was, and it got me excited. So as my prayer time went on, I began to ask God to forgive me for wrong thinkings as I was in my admit time. And just so you know, if I think of something later, I do go ahead and tell him. I don't strictly. I was like, oh, I better admit that later. No, that's just a time when I reflect on where I've been over the last 24 hours and say, okay, Lord, you know, if there's anything in me. So, you know, I do pray all the time, but this is just the time that I have been setting. This is just something I've been setting aside to do. So as my prayer time went on, I was asking him to forgive me, and I had this ache come over my heart. And a song came to my mind that we've done here in the years past, and the song is called Ache. And the lyrics go like this: Jesus, I ache for your children. Lord, my heart breaks for the many that don't know your love. And Jesus, I plead for this city. Come and redeem the many who are far from home and make your glory known. I was in this place where, this deep place where it can really only be described as an aching. That was just the perfect word for it. I felt sad and mournful, and yet my prayers in that time felt purposeful in praying for this country and for the people that are leading it. And that was when it happened. I'm in this deep place, and all of a sudden, I got excited again. And I thought, it was such a shift from this mourning to this exciting that I was like, that was really strange. Like, where did that come from? One minute, I felt I was despairing for the country, and the next, I wanted to jump up and down with excitement. What a strange response. And when I went into the time of Thanksgiving, every line had an exclamation point after it. And if you know me, that's, you know, when I get excited, if I'm writing, there's just exclamation points. So, you know, every line was an exclamation point. Some of them even had two exclamation points after it because I was excited. And in that moment, this is the verse that sprung out to me. And it's found in Romans 4, verse 7 and 8. And Paul is talking to the Roman Christians in this verse, and he's quoting David from the Old Testament when he says this, "Blessed are those whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord will never count against them." And right there in the middle of my aching heart, God reminded me that I have a reason to rejoice. We are blessed because our transgressions are forgiven. Our sins are covered and they won't count against us. Jesus is our Savior. And salvation is a reason to rejoice no matter what the circumstances are. When we follow God, our salvation is eternal. And looking up in my prayer time toward God, even with the heaviness on my heart, God brought me to eternal things, thinking on eternal things. And the first on that list was God, who is my salvation. Now I'm going to kind of jump around here a little bit because I want you to understand what I'm saying when I say eternal things. We're talking today about perspective, and we have our perspective and God has his perspective. And God's perspective is eternal, okay? So I think of eternal as being kind of like a half circle, you know, just an arc, okay? There's no line to it. And then you think about eternity, or not eternity, you think about time, and God created a time inside that. So the timeline that we are on right now in 2021, God is not confined by that timeline. And it's not a now and forever, it's always. I mean, it was there before time. He was there before time, and he will be there after time, okay? So when we're talking eternal things, they're things that have been and will always be, okay? God is, he looks at us from that perspective. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 7 says this, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this, you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed." God has given us a living hope. This inheritance can never perish. It can't spoil or fade. In verse 5 of this chapter, he's talking about how God's power shields us until that salvation comes to us in these last times. And this verse talks about how any grief that we suffer will help our faith be genuine. Will help our faith be genuine. Have you ever seen how people turn to God? Have you ever turned to God when you can't handle things? So many times, it's the rough stuff that brings us to our knees. He draws us so close to him in times of trouble. He loves and his care is so near to us when we call out to him. And we're supposed to rejoice in the midst of this suffering. In fact, it says, "greatly rejoice." And that sounds kind of crazy. How do we even do that? Because in this suffering place, God is drawing us close. And he gives us an eternal perspective, his perspective. Looking around at all the bad things going on right now, some would lose heart and say, this is terrible. How could God let this happen? And I would ask you this. Do you have God's perspective? Does he have your perspective? Does he look at the same thing way? Does he look at things the same way that you do? Yeah, Isaiah 55, verse 8 and 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declared the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. See, maybe from your perspective today, you might be frustrated. You may feel desperate for either situations in your personal life or things that are going on around you. And maybe you're thinking that everything's just going downhill fast and we're all doomed with everything that's coming, because our perspective, we see things in the natural. Our perspective is fear, anger. We see riots, killing. We see corrupt people. And that rises up in us, anger, fear, frustration. But God's perspective is different. He's eternal. He sees this timeline that we're in, but he's not bound by that. We've got to get his perspective. We need to seek him for it. We need to get there. We need to see ourselves through the light of eternity. We need to see God in the light of eternity, and we need to see others in the light of eternity. From the beginning of what we know as time, God already knew that Jesus would say, "It is finished," when he died on the cross. Do you believe that? The battle for our eternity, he already knew was going to be won. Okay? He would rise again, and we would have a way to be with him in eternity. God does and always has functioned from a place of that victory. I want to say that again. God always, he does and he always has functioned from a place of victory. The enemy is already defeated. And as we move forward in our timeline, God functions in our lives from a place of victory. He's not chasing it down. He already did it. And as we're watching this story unfold with all of its plot twists and turns and ups and downs, God, the author of this story, is victorious. He knows the end. We read about it in the Bible. We see the beginning of time, and we see what's going to happen at the end of time. And we're somewhere in the middle right now. You know the part of a really good book, Christy? Part of a really good book? The part where we don't see how the hero is going to make it out, okay? The part where Frodo Baggins is captured by the orcs. The part where Sleeping Beauty falls asleep. The part where Daniel is thrown into the lion's den. The part where Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are going to be tossed into the fire. The part where Peter is in jail. I could go on and on. The peak of the plot, where the conflict is hard and the hero or the main character doesn't see how it's going to get better. And then we see something happen. God moves. He moves. Well, God is moving. He's moving. Right here, right now, God is moving. He is moving on his people to rise up and be who he has called us to be, to allow his spirit to lead us into our part of what we are to do, putting ourselves aside, the things we want aside, and answering that call. This is exciting. We get to partner with God. And if you remember, he's victorious. So we're partnering with him. There are crazy good things that happen when God moves. We will see the impossible with our own eyes. That is the eternal perspective of the time that we live in. Our physical body is in a place where there is time. We are born, we get old, we die, and he gave us this timeline. He put us in this timeline for this place, for this time. He gave us this opportunity to choose him, to look to him, to walk with him. Our soul, when we choose him, will live with him for eternity. This is the hope that we have. This is the hope that we have. This life is going to fade away, but it's just one dot on a timeline that was created inside of eternity. One dot. Now, we've talked before about how you were created for this time in history, and our job is to make sure that we're seeking God to find out what our assignments are while we're here and to be obedient to what he tells us to do. Now, that call can get muddled up in circumstances. It gets slowed down by our human thoughts, our human fears. But having an eternal perspective, looking at our lives through the light of eternity, helps us focus on the things that exist outside of this time, like grace, mercy, love, faith, and hope. It helps us to focus on God. It helps us to trust him because we have our eyes fixed on him. When your eyes are fixed on something, they're not looking around. That's why I got excited, because God's peace and his promises are not rooted in ignorance. His peace and his promises take everything going on into consideration. Did you hear that? God's peace and his promises are not rooted, they're not founded because he's not paying attention to what's going on. No, it's that he took everything into account. And his peace for you and his promises takes it all into consideration. The things that you can see, but also all the things that you can't see. So even more so, we can trust in the areas that we don't see the answer for, because we know God's working. He's already there. And when you come to Christ, your outcome is secure. This life will pass. The hardships that are going on in this world, they will pass, and we'll probably have more. In fact, you probably have faced many hardships, and you probably will face more. You're welcome for that. But there's a little peace and hope right there. But this life that you're living is a blip, and your soul will live forever. Will live in eternity. Our focus needs to be there. You can't spend time even talking about this eternal perspective without addressing your personal eternal standing. The fact that you are going to stand before the Lord one day, and when you do, there is not going to be anyone standing next to you that you can blame for the choices that you make. You will stand before him and will go over what it is that you've done in your life. And what will you say about what you did? What will you say about what your response is to others? Is your relationship with God doing good well compared to everyone else around me? Or is it compared to what God asked you to do? Are you being obedient? When you have an eternal perspective, our to-do list will even shift. We go from worrying about what we're going to do to doing what God's asked us to do, what he has for us to do. And then we need to have an eternal perspective when we look at other people. Did you know that there are more than 100 verses in the Bible that talk about how we're to care for people? God tells us to care for the widows and orphans, to feed the poor, to think of others more highly than yourself, verse after verse, and how we're to care for people. 1 John 3, verses 16 through 19 says this. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with action and in truth. Let us not love with words or speech, but with action and in truth. Sorry, got a tickle in my throat. We have to look at others through the light of eternity, and not just the people that we like, unfortunately. Not just the people that we want to, but the homeless and the criminals and the drug addicts and that neighbor that's really annoying, the people that we disagree with. God gives us directions on how we are to care for and love even our enemies. If you don't love your enemies, you could get caught up in frustration and anger, and it slows down what you can do with your life. The eternal things. It will steal your joy, your peace, and your productivity in seeing the lost saved. Romans 3:23 says this, if you don't know it, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Looking at at other people in light of eternity, we can't ignore the many people that don't know him, because everyone messes up. Everyone makes someone mad. Even you. I bet you all have made someone mad at some point in your life. Fixing your eyes on eternal things allows God to heal what has been done to you, to overlook the ugly in other people. It gives us a heart for those people that we are called to. And I want you to think of it this way. This timeline that we're in is going to end. And when that happens, we're going to be fully aware of what eternity is. Okay? Fully aware. Because we're going to be walking in it. And can you imagine living this life right now without God? Can you imagine living without him right now? Well, those people that you see out there that don't know him, that's what they're trying to do right now. They're trying to navigate this life without God. That's an eternal perspective. The people that you know in your life that don't know him, you need to look at them that way. Oh, I want to give you more grace because you don't understand what grace is. I want to love you right because you don't know what real love is. It's time that we get over ourselves and look to God for direction. Every soul lost, and actually in prayer this week, we were praying and I wrote this down. And so Tiffany, I'm quoting you and you probably don't even know it, but every soul lost, every person that is going to hell is a missing part in the chorus of praise that we are going to be singing to God forever. If you've ever been in a choir and there was a missing part, sometimes it's really bad, depending on what part it is. But every soul lost, every person going to hell is a missing part in that chorus. God created each of us to play a part. And the people that we see out there, they have a part to play. And I don't want anyone to be missing. I don't want anyone to be missing. Right now, and I've said this before, but it's really important, eternal perspective. Looking at others and our lives the way that God does, those things, grace, mercy, love, faith, and hope, are crucial right now. They are crucial right now. eternal perspective. When we focus in on God, He gives us that eternal perspective. It helps us trust Him because we have our eyes fixed on Him. He sees you in the light of eternity. He sees your neighbor in the light of eternity. He doesn't look at people the way that you do. He doesn't look at this year the way that you do. He doesn't look at 2021 the way that you do. He doesn't look at this pandemic the way that you do. This year is an opportunity for another chapter to unfold with what God is doing. And when I'm focused on Him, I get excited because He's moving, and I know it, and I see it, and I feel it, and I walk in it. It's going to be an exciting chapter. It's going to be an exciting chapter. And exciting doesn't mean that everything goes great. Unfortunately, it doesn't. But when God is there, would you want to be anywhere else? Would you want to be anywhere else? We want to be in that place where we're in the front row seat when the Lord shows up in as many places as we can. It brings us to our knees. It brings us to our knees. Lord God. Like that song we were singing, Lord God, bring revival. Start it here. Start it in me. Do it. Let me see it. Let me see it happen. I don't want to miss one piece. And I don't want the people around me to miss one piece. It's going to be an exciting chapter. So let's ask God this morning for His perspective for this day. For His perspective, when we look at each other, when we look at this nation, when we look at this city, when we look at our homes and our families, eternal perspective today and every day and tomorrow and the next day, every day. Would you stand with me? Let's pray. Praise You, Lord God. I just want to pray this morning that God would give you and give us His perspective, and that we would function from that place, that we would be moving in our spheres of influence with God's perspective, and that we would get excited at weird times because He's so good, and that we would fall to our knees at weird times because He is asking us to intercede, that we would be so in tune with His Spirit that when He's moving, we're stepping with Him, and that when He's not, when He wants us to stay, we would stay. I just want to pray that over you. If you want that perspective, I just want you to lift your hands out like this. I'm a firm believer in like some physical action to respond to the Lord and what He's doing in our hearts. So, Lord God, we come to You this morning, Lord. And, Lord, as this year is getting going, Lord, we're already 2 weeks into the new year almost, and Lord God, I pray, Lord, that as this chapter unfolds, Lord, we would have Your perspective. We would not get caught up in our own self, our own perspective, Lord God, but we would have Your eternal perspective, Lord, Your eternal perspective, Lord, that we would see the lost, Lord God, as someone who needs You, Lord, someone who needs that eternal perspective, that connection to that eternal perspective, Lord. Lord, that we would look at ourselves and our own circumstances and our own life, Lord God, through Your eyes. That we would not despair, that we would not lose hope, but Lord, we would press into You. We would press into You to get Your perspective, Lord. Lord, that each and every circumstance, each and everything that comes up this year, Lord, that it would draw us to Your perspective. Lord God, show us what You're doing. Show us what you're doing, Lord. Fix our eyes on you. Fix them on you, Lord God. That we would not lose hope, but that we would be obedient to step forward. Praise you, Lord God. Lord, I thank you for your goodness. Lord, I thank you for every single person, Lord, that that is their prayer this morning, Lord. I pray for them, Lord, that you would do that. Do that in this moment, but do that as they go out from this place today. And Lord, those watching online, Lord God, that as they prayed that prayer, as they responded to that, Lord, give me your perspective, Lord, that you would just release that to them right now. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, that we would be known as a people who live by your word. That we would be known as a people who live with your hope and your peace and your joy, Lord God. The eternal things, Lord God. That we would be carriers of the good news. Praise you, Lord God. Lord, we thank you. We thank you that we can gather together, Lord. We thank you that we can hear your word, hear your truth, Lord God. And Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would let those things, Lord, that we need to take away personally from this time that we've had here together, Lord, that those things would go in and be deeply rooted, Lord, in our hearts, and it would change our lives, Lord. And Lord, if there are things that have been said this morning, Lord, that are not of you, Lord, I pray that all those things would just fall away right now in the name of Jesus. Lord God, we only want to follow you. We want to chase after the things of you. So, Lord, we give you this moment, Lord God, and we give you this day. And, Lord, do what you want in us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.